Well, here we are.
It is time, Simba.
If you understand that reference, you might be about the age where we should be working together. It's possible. But it is now one of 3 times a year that I'm accepting clients for my freedom framework, overcoming food sensitivities and increasing energy without unnecessary restriction. My goal for my one-on-one clients is to take them through frameworks and explore tools for achieving 50, 80, 90% of their goals in just a few months and show them how to continue to heal on their own so they don't need me anymore. Honestly, I think we're doing great one-on-one work here, helping women that would otherwise be falling through the cracks, thinking that they're just aging, that they're just moms, that they just, and it may be true that they just have stress, when really those stress hormones and their other core systems just really need some serious support and some serious love to serve them for years to come without symptoms. So if you'd like to clear inflammation, eczema, food sensitivities, or improve energy and brain clarity, I'd love to chat with you. You can book a call with me at kristabigler.com/FSS, kristabigler.com/FSS, and that link will be in the show notes.
Always with Gua Sha, you're improving the flow of qi and blood, qi being like life force energy. And so you're increasing the overall vitality and wellness of the skin.
Stress is the inflammation that robs us of life, energy, and happiness. Our typical solutions for gut health and hormone balance have let a lot of us down. We're over-medicated and underserved. At The Less Stressed Life, we're a community of health-savvy women exploring solutions outside of our traditional Western medicine toolbox and training to raise the bar and change our stories. Each week, our hope is that you leave our sessions inspired to learn, grow, and share these stories to raise the bar in your life and home. Did you know that The Less Stressed Life is not just a podcast? We're really a virtual private practice that sees clients one-on-one for issues with your gut, skin, energy, and overcoming food sensitivities. Our team gets to do cool tests that you can't or that are often not ordered in standard primary care office visits, and we get to help our clients navigate and interpret those tests to get great results on resolving symptoms. And we've grown to help more one-on-one clients now that we have an amazing registered nurse and registered dietitian working alongside me, another registered dietitian, to give our clients better care than most have ever received before. To learn more about the testing we use most often, our process, and lots of testimonials for different symptoms and conditions, please download our anti-inflammatory guide for healing gut, skin, and energy issues at kristabigler.com/gut guide. That's kristabigler.com/gut guide, or schedule an introductory case review at kristabigler.com. Before we recorded this episode, I was curious about Gua Sha. Afterwards, I jumped in, I got the tools, I started doing it, and oh my gosh, it quickly rose to one of the top things that I love for lymphatic drainage support. I mean, I think it knocks the socks off of dry brushing. It is so much more like comfortable and enjoyable, and you can kind of change the puffiness in your face, which is some lymphatic issue. So I love it and wholeheartedly want to recommend it. Even before you get into the episode, you're going to love it. If you want wildling.com, Gianna, who I interviewed today, she is one of the founders of Wildling. They do have beautiful tools. They do have beautiful stuff. They do have beautiful education on their YouTube. And if you're interested in one of their tools, we have a code for you, a discount code, and that is Less Stressed. So I hope you enjoy the show. So today on The Less Stressed Life, we have Gianna De La Tour. She's an acupuncturist, intuitive healer, and co-founder of Wildling, a self-loving beauty collective embracing the ritual of Gua Sha. She found her passion for alternative medicine in India, where she was mentored by an Ayurvedic doctor, and then went on to explore acupuncture and herbal medicine. Embracing intuitive healing practices has helped her through the darkest moments of her own journey, and now she has a mission to pay it forward and help other people also heal. Welcome, Gianna.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I think that your story is pretty remarkable. Your parents are both providers, or maybe it was just your, I think your one of your parents is a gastroenterologist and another is another doctor. So you were around health a lot growing up, but I'd love to hear where kind of you started and what landed you in India, why you ended up there, because that is the fun part before we get into the nitty gritty of Gua Sha. How did you end up where you are today?
Yeah, I think that's a perfect question because ending up in India like really changed the trajectory of the rest. And I think you know, like for me personally, like my journey to kind of like the alternative arts began in college when I like just happened upon, I went to the University of Virginia and just happened upon an incredible yoga studio with like a really incredible lineage in Ashtanga yoga. And that was my gateway. So it was like an incredible place to land after late college nights, like partying or just being like debaucherous, and then like arriving in this class and centering myself and grounding and learning how to like move my body and breathe and all of these things. And my passion and like obsession with yoga for like the first many years, like took me to India. And when I was in India studying yoga, I was also very taken by medicine, and I always thought that I would, you know, go in a medical direction just because I was very passionate about the body and health and wellness. And my skin broke out really badly in India, and I'd had that happen before. And when I was a teenager and that happened, my dad, being a gastroenterologist, sent me to a doctor who just put me on like indefinite antibiotics. And as we know, that's not great for a lot of reasons, but that was his training and that is like Western medical protocol. And so I walked into this Ayurvedic doctor's office after my skin had like erupted in these breakouts. And he took one look at me and he said, "You're allergic to milk." And, and that was just like so striking for me because it was just this elegant to the point, like he could see it. I can see it now on people too, like having been a health practitioner for a long time, but I was drinking so much Indian chai. It was like the pillar of my nutrition when I was in India. And it's of course, like always has dairy. So that was why. And I went off milk. And I was like shocked to see how my skin cleared. So there was this very like visceral experience of like, what if we just take one thing away from your diet rather than adding this like really intense thing to like tetracycline? And so that was like my first aha moment that sent me in a direction of alternative healing and ultimately sent me to acupuncture school.
How long were you in India?
I was in India for 6 months.
Okay. What year was this?
That would have been 2003, 2004.
Okay. So this is like the pivotal moment where you see the change in your own health from something somewhat simple, right? Simple in a good way. So you mentioned that you were mentored by an Ayurvedic doctor. So what came next? Did you return to India after that? Did you go home? What happened after this pivotal moment? Because sometimes we have this experience somewhere, but it doesn't really change our life. But in your case, it did. And there were some other maybe things as well. But what happened after that moment where the doctor said, "Hey, if you just change milk, if you just stop drinking chai every day with milk, then your skin may be less erupted." What happened after that?
Yeah. So if anyone's ever practiced Ashtanga yoga out there, which I trust there are many, it's something that happens like first thing in the morning from like, you know, 6 in the morning until 8. It's like a 2-hour practice generally. And then there's not that much else to do for the rest of the day. So it's very much in many like Eastern healing traditions that if you want to learn from someone, you just kind of like show up. So as I hear you say, like mentored by an Ayurvedic doctor, like what that really meant for me is that I just kind of like showed up. And that's very like natural in the culture of like passed down arts, you know, whether that's like Chinese medicine or whether it's like Ayurveda, like he's like, "Oh, you want to, okay, go ahead, sit down. Like, if you want to learn about this, like take a seat." And that meant that, you know, initially it was just a lot of watching. And then eventually I was also able to like feel the pulse of what was going on. It was no sort of like formal training or curriculum, but it was just kind of like being present for the treatment and the diagnosis. And in Ayurveda, a lot of it's like very dietary. So just being able to like take in and absorb that information is what happened all on that like same initial trip. So I never returned to India after I went for that time. If you've ever spent 6 months in India, it's just like stays with you for life. You'll never be the same. So it was a very transformative experience, but essentially meant that I had a lot of free time after my yoga practice every day to do whatever I wanted. And that was something that I chose to explore.
So you were on the East Coast, you went to India, now you're on the West Coast. What happened when you returned home? How did you get into Gua Sha, right?
Yeah,
that's really
great.
Like, where did that fit in?
That's the crux. It's perfect. So yes, I went to California. I'm from New Mexico. So going to school on the East Coast was like already like a leap. So I quickly rush back to the West where I feel most comfortable. And I go to a yoga teacher training. And I'm now on a journey to become a yoga teacher, which I was for 10 years and was through acupuncture school. And I'm sitting next to this really beautiful woman and like just talking to her in this yoga teacher training. And I was asking her what she was studying. And she told me that she was studying traditional Chinese medicine. And I was like, where are you studying that? And she's like, there's schools all over. And like, I had like chills run through my entire body. Like, it's like that moment where you get a download and you're like, oh my God, like I felt like something coursed through my system. I didn't know that that was an option. And of course, like prodded her with like questions after that and was just like so curious. So that was the first moment I realized you could go to school for Chinese medicine. Cut to like living in the Bay Area, teaching yoga, now aware of like very many schools, like seeing an acupuncturist regularly, just learning about the medicine. And then in 2005, I began going to the Pacific College of Oriental Medicine. It was called that at the time, but that name has since changed, and rightly so, to a different name. So the Pacific College is where I went in San Diego. And so that was when my journey with acupuncture started. And one of the very first things that they empower you with in traditional Chinese medicine school is gua sha. So you're immediately in the clinic, especially in California, if you're going to acupuncture school, you do so many clinic hours. And it's like basically from day one. And it's just like when I was with the Ayurvedic doctors, first, you're just a fly on the wall. You're just observing everything going on. And then the first thing that they gave me to actually help a patient was a gua sha tool. And that's because I had done some massage already. Like I knew how to touch people, like with direction of a teacher. Like it's a technique unlike needling that's like relatively safe to use. Gua sha has a history of being a technique that's used in the home by elders, like by your parents or grandparents to help you treat a fever, a cough, like many health conditions that you can treat in the home, maybe even pain. So it's something that you're empowered to help people with. And I was helping someone who had frozen shoulder and I was doing gua sha all over their shoulder and they got up and their range of motion went from like 20% to like 80% in like 10 minutes. And I was just so struck by that and the power of being able to heal someone with gua sha. And I felt incredibly empowered. And it was just like such a simple, profound technique. So my love for gua sha began, you know, in 2005, 2006, when I was first able to use it in the clinic. And that would have been for things that had nothing to do with beauty. So gua sha even predates acupuncture and it's used to revive consciousness. It's used to reduce fevers. It's used to strengthen the immune system. It's used for cough. It's used for cold. It's used for pain. And so that's kind of like the lineage that I entered into.
Well, I'm going to go back to early gua sha, but first I'm just going to comment on what your story reminded me of with the person with the frozen shoulder who was 20 to 80% better in 10 minutes. I often think we have therapies in all of our areas. And I will say to people, traditional Chinese medicine always seem to have it down first. So whenever we have something that's kind of from that. So modern physical therapy has scraping. And I really don't know that there's a difference between gua sha and scraping that happens in physical therapy. And I was talking to my physical therapist friend about this recently, and I don't want to make the quote or the statement, but essentially, you know, short-term scraping by someone is equivalent to a very long massage, essentially. Short term. So that's what that your story reminds me of. I'm trying to find someone to talk about scraping, but I don't think it's very different from gua sha. So I want to go back because if someone can't picture what this looks like, I think maybe let's go to that. Maybe what is gua sha? It predates acupuncture, as you said. It's an original piece of traditional Chinese medicine, but what is it literally? And like, what is it in the flesh? And also talk to us about the physiology of what's happening with gua sha when you're using that tool as well.
Yeah, I will definitely get into that. And I first just want to say that, like, I think it's actually unfortunate that there's Grayson techniques or like these therapies that truly stem from traditional Chinese medicine, but don't always like give credit in the same way that dry needling is a thing. A lot of acupuncturists are frustrated by that.
I'm sure.
Just because we want to honor the lineage. Yeah. And so there is not a difference. Basically, gua sha translates as scraping. Sand is one take on it, but the character for sand is different. It actually refers to the stagnation in the tissues. So it's like it brings these little dots or petechia up to the skin that kind of may look a little like sand, but it's actually clearing stagnation from the tissues. So unless there's stagnation living in your tissues, none of this redness will occur. And for those of you who've never seen the marks that gua sha can leave, if you were to Google it, it's actually quite dramatic. Like think like cupping anywhere that you've received gua sha. And the interesting thing is that when you're doing it on a body, someone who does not have a lot of stagnation will not necessarily have any marks. They might just have like a little bit of minor pinkness. Someone who has a lot of stagnation or stuckness in the muscles, or and this would typically be someone who also has a lot of pain or like really needs this therapy, it can get anywhere from red to like a deep dark purple. And what you're doing is it's like as you're applying, and again, this is not for the face, I just want to say, like we never produce red marks on the face. We would never do that. The technique is so gentle. So I am describing gua sha on the body. But if you think about like taking a very firm piece of machinery and like scraping the bottom of a lake, dragging the bottom of a lake, you bring all of this like stuff up to the surface, right? All of a sudden the lake becomes like very cloudy. All of this silt that has like settled in the at the bottom is now like stirred up to the surface to come up to the top. It's kind of the same thing in the tissues. As you apply this very firm edge to the skin, usually made out of, you know, a stone or, you know, I've even used like a tiger balm lid or a horn or a spoon. These are some of the, like the older tools that would have been used for that. As you apply this pressure on the skin, always with oil, so it slips, it pulls all of the stuck blood that's like stuck in the muscle, that's stuck between like, you know, the connective tissue, like all of that comes up to the surface to clear. And the result is this immediate sensation that like you've had a backpack taken off your back, if you're having it done to like your back and shoulders, for example. And so that's how I describe it. And then getting into more of like the science of gua sha being studied, like how does it work? It increases microcirculation in the tissues dramatically. And so it goes very much in line with kind of what I described, which is essentially you're oxygenating the tissues by creating movement. So you're encouraging blood flow and thus oxygen flow into areas that may have been like tight, restricted, or like more closed off. And so you're really just very strongly increasing the flow. And the difference between, you know, something just like massage is this really firm surface. And the use of like the oil on the skin and this repeated like very firm surface with like stronger than the hands is going to more forcefully encourage that microcirculation and that flow.
So it reminds me a lot of cupping because that's kind of a spot, yeah. Right? And there's cups are used pretty prolifically in my household. My husband just loves to cup himself. So I'm very familiar with, yeah. I've gotten calls from school about spots on my kids back in the day, yeah. When he was really into cupping, even more so. But it's the same physiology. It's increasing circulation or oxygenation, yes. For healing, speeding up healing is the thought, right? And this is just like moving it around instead of putting it in one spot on the body, right?
Yeah. And so it can actually be like, it's a very similar action to cupping, but this, you know, a little gua sha tool can get into areas like, let's say that you're like having stuff come up around the elbow. Like you can't really put a cup there. Mm-hmm. You want to think about being able to like carve into the areas of the body and work on those. And that's when gua sha really comes in handy. But yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. I love that you said that. My next question was, is the tool significant? And you brought up a significance that I wouldn't have thought about. I was thinking, is the makeup of the tool significant, like as a stone or as plastic or as whatever? I mean, what makes a tool a gua sha tool? Or is it pretty open? Because it is a kind of a gray area.
Yes, that's a great question. So a gua sha tool will typically be a thin, you know, like if you think about like the spoon, you know, that's like a great reference that we all know. It's a thin piece of metal that has that firm edge to apply to the skin. So some of them are stones, some of them are made of horns, but the thing that unites them is that they are all going to be like almost like disc-like, thin edged. That you can apply that thin edge to the skin. And, you know, for anyone who's at home, who's like curious, like the type of jar lid that I would always select would be, you know, the lid to the tiger balm. It almost has this like round waxed edge to it that like fits nicely in the hand. And so that's the kind of like household items that people might be able to relate to. but there's various shapes. At Wildling, I've designed our patented tools, and we've chosen Beyond Stone for our Gua Sha tool. It's one of the original pillars of Chinese medicine. It was created when a meteor struck a mountain in ancient China, like before civilization. And it has a measurable ultrasound pulsation, a measurable far infrared wave. It's associated with increased longevity. And so if you were to ask someone like me who studied stone medicine with like Jeffrey Yuan, like, yes, the material that you're using for your Gua Sha tool 100% matters, because every little detail matters. And there would be like different stones that you would use for different types of conditions according to stone medicine. Some stones will be cooling, some stones will be warming. And that being said, maybe like not all practitioners would abide by that. Like they might just always use the same spoon for doing Gua Sha, at least on the body. So there's kind of a lot of ways to answer that question, but that's mine.
It touches your heart differently than maybe someone else that I would ask. When you have more education about a certain, you've arrived at a different different feeling.
Yeah.
So, but I appreciate that you talk about a spoon, but also this.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when I, you know, like I've thought about it so much, because as Gua Sha being the passionate thing that it is for me, and then transitioning to work on more faces with Gua Sha and the results of that, I'm like, I couldn't be more of a Gua Sha tool nerd, because I thought so much about how to design our tools for face and for body, and put so much like thought and time into the edges and the material and, you know, like the craftsmanship of that. So I'm truly a Gua Sha tool nerd. I've tried them all. I've used them all. And I designed like the dream tools with the help of like much feedback from my co-founders at Wildling. But yeah, it's a subject that's very passionate to my heart.
So let's actually get into how Gua Sha works for beauty. We've talked about it on the skin, oxygenation. It just reminds me of like myofascial release a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of ancillary things, tools for health sort of. But you have really focused, I mean, your origin story had to do with, I believe, what was going on the face. And so, and I think that you focused a little bit on that. You know, we talked about how Gua Sha can leave marks on the body if there's stagnation, and how we're not wanting to do that on the face. So talk to us about how it's a little bit different for beauty and why you use Gua Sha for beauty and what some of the benefits are there.
Right. So another key principle to Chinese medicine is intention. So like anytime you're putting a needle in a place, you want to think about like a point could have like 15 different functions, but you want to focus your intention on like, what are you using that point for? And I think the same, like when I began doing facial acupuncture and then also using Gua Sha on the face, I was just so taken aback, because obviously that client came to me for beauty, like with an intention of looking better, feeling better. And so the gentle technique that I was using is just kind of like moving lymphatic fluid, relaxing facial muscles. Always with Gua Sha, you're improving the flow of qi and blood, qi being like life force energy. And so you're increasing the overall vitality and wellness of the skin. And that being said, the face is also what we call a homunculus, which means that you can treat the entire body with the face. You can do, you know, you may have heard of like facial reflexology. We've heard of like foot reflexology. You can also treat people with the hand and with the ear. So you are also affecting the entire body, which means that when people would get up off the table, they would just like look so transformed. Like they felt so much better. They looked better. But the actions of facial Gua Sha specifically are threefold. Like fundamentally is that you're improving the flow of qi and blood. You're relaxing the muscles, which really helps with like habitual facial expressions that contribute to wrinkles. So if there's a chronic tension pattern that you're holding in the face, like the action of Gua Sha will help kind of like reset that and massage the facial muscles to bring them out of the tension pattern. It also smooths the fascia, which is the connective tissue, because the fascia kind of hardens into the position that like the muscles tell it to, essentially. So over time, we can have like, again, these like habitual expressions that contribute to signs of aging based on tension and like holding in the fascia and in the muscles. So those are the ways that I identify facial Gua Sha as working most remarkably.
I love it. I would like to know how it is related, unrelated to jade rolling, which is another thing that people might have been exposed to if they have heard of gua sha potentially, or that, I mean, I feel like it's a thing right now, rollers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Rollers are like the two-dimensional gateway drug potentially to gua sha. So a jade roller would require very little education. You just kind of like put it on your face and roll it around. I've certainly done it and tried it. And so similar actions, how is it different? For the jade roller, you don't have that like edge to kind of like really gently like move the fluid out of the face. So I find it to be a beneficial practice 100%. It feels very nice. And I find gua sha to be kind of like the next step or the next level of that, that requires more education. How are you holding the tool? A little bit more technique and finesse. And so, you know, if you're just looking to pick up a facial tool and not think any more about it, like a jade roller would be a good thing to just pick up and kind of try to see if you like the sensation.
So I'm just thinking through people getting benefits, and sometimes there is a frequency to which you should do something. And so I'm wondering how often. I think it could be all the time, but if there needs to be some education around using gua sha, you can use a story with this as well, potentially. But how often should people use or get gua sha done to see certain benefits? And or I would love to hear kind of like a favorite story or two using gua sha in practice.
Yeah. So the results are immediate and they are also cumulative. So like immediately after you've done gua sha, you know, and I launched Wildling like basically when my child was born. So there was a lot of like sleepless nights. And I really thought that was an incredible time to really see those immediate results, because I would wake up feeling exhausted, like so puffy, and all of the like postpartum hormones, fluid in the body, all of that. I just really felt like so a little bit like out of my norm, to say the least. So I would do gua sha and I would feel like my face was much less puffy, much like thinner. And then I also felt like my nervous system was calm and I felt more centered and grounded and awake. And so that's like an immediate benefit that you would experience. So for the person who, you know, is just feeling a little off or wants to try gua sha before their makeup application, before like a special occasion, like, you know, you would still see benefits in that immediate way. For people who want to like really commit and see more long-term results, anywhere between 3 and 5 times a week, and we're talking like 10 minutes or so at a time, will deliver more results, because you're then relaxing the face with more frequency. You're taking tension out of the face and moving qi and blood. So you're going to see like a brighter complexion, again, reduced puffiness. And we started the 21-day gua sha challenge at Wildling, which you can find in the Learn tab of our website. And we did that because we wanted people to actually like take a before and after and see. And there's, of course, like the adage that it takes 21 days to form a habit. And that way you really like learn the technique. And I mean, the anecdote I want to share is just like the mind-blowing before and afters that we've seen. Some people say we're like, it's fine to share them. And some people just like share them personally with us, like just their pictures. And it like the transformation is so beautiful, because yes, they like look, their skin looks great and radiant, and the shape of their face often changes. But they just look like more relaxed and like they've been taking this time. It's almost this meditative practice, which is very different from a lot of beauty rituals. So it can feel like a lot of work sometimes to stand in front of the mirror and apply like all the serums and do all the things. But we encourage people to actually like move their gua sha skincare routine like onto the couch or the sofa. Like do it while you're watching a movie. Like do it while you're sitting in bed and hanging out. Like it's something that you can really unwind with and kind of like check in with yourself. It's this opportunity to like take a time out. So even though most people come to us because they want to look better, like that is the number one feedback that we get, is like, I feel so much better when I do it. My skin craves it. My face craves it. Like I just love the ritual of that. So I'm not sure if that totally answers your question, but.
No, that sounds good. I think the thing is that we're interested, but It sounds like we need a little bit of education to get started in gua sha. So how does someone get started? Do you go have it done? Do you do some education at home and then you get a tool? Where do you suggest someone starts if they want to start using gua sha?
Basically, we've done it for you because my co-founder, Britta, is a holistic esthetician who really was credited with like bringing gua sha into the mainstream in a strong way. And we knew that we could never like bring this product to market without providing a lot of education. And so on our website, we have like a tutorials tab. We are very active on Instagram. We release tutorials on how to do this like almost every day. And so you can go into our IGTV. We have like an Empress Ritual 101 series. We have an Aura Ritual, which is the one for body 101 series. We have a YouTube channel where you can watch like full length classes on it. We like basically, if you're like, I don't even know where to start because there's so much content, send us a DM, send us an email. Like, we will send you the best video to start with. And so I think the tools are basic enough to learn at home and get a sense for. So don't be overwhelmed. Like, this isn't going to be like a massive education. We just want to make sure that you're using gentle pressure, that you're holding the tool flat to the face, that you're securing the skin with the opposite hand that isn't holding the tool so that your skin isn't being pulled. And the pressure is probably a lot more gentle than you think. We're a very type A culture, so we tend to think that like more is more, less is more. But with facial gua sha, because we're affecting the lymphatic drainage, like the technique is very gentle and should be, and there are better results with this kind of self-loving, gentle practice of it. So those are really the basic things that we're going to teach you, is just how to hold the tool, how much pressure to use, what angle to the skin, and how to secure the skin with the opposite hand fundamentally.
I think this is the perfect time for you to tell us where people can find you online. And is, I think there's a discount code. So tell us where to go first.
Yeah. So we are at wildling.com. Wildling mean is like a word that describes any plant that grows in the wild. So I also just want to take a moment and say that we've also created incredible formulas that promote the action of gua sha, which is also traditional Chinese medicine practice, is using topical plants on the skin to affect change. So all of our products, you know, benefit and promote the results that you're going to get with gua sha. So Wildling is any plant that grows in the wild. And we are at wildling.com. We are on Instagram at wildling_beauty. And that's where you can find our nearly daily tutorials. And we're also learning to use TikTok. So we're also at wildling_beauty on TikTok. And we are at wildling_beauty on YouTube as well. Or Wildling Beauty, maybe, just all one word. I can't remember. And then I'm going to look up the discount code for you.
I think it's Less Stressed, which is great that you picked that.
Oh, yeah.
You guys showed up with that, which is pretty much what every code is if we have one. So thanks for just reading our mind that that's exactly what we'd want to use. I think the code is Less Stressed on the website. And on the website there are tools, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And we have tools for face. We have tools for body. And we also have a tool quiz to help you decide which tool is best for you. So you can take our tool quiz. We have like beautiful collections of the skincare products and the tools together. They make really great gifts, and they make really great gifts to yourself as well.
I like that. And I want to mention one thing before I wrap here, that you said you were working on launching this company after you had a baby. And so you were just feeling not amazing and not well rested. And so I remember you saying that you felt nervous, that you felt calm and grounded after doing gua sha, which I feel like is a big thing for someone who practiced yoga for about a decade before getting to that point. So just wanted to underscore that a little bit. That's all.
I have a great anecdote to add to that Britta, my co-founder, mentioned, which is that she was working on an anthropologist. And the anthropologist said that it makes a lot of anthropological sense that doing facial gua sha is like deeply, deeply calming to our neurology, because we used to like groom each other and ourselves in the animal kingdom, like going back to our primate roots, only when like all was well. So the grooming thing happened when everyone was relaxed, like a sunny day, looking out over like a nice view. And that's when the grooming happened. So anytime that we're doing this like gentle, small micro movements on the face, we're like triggering that part of the brain to relax the nervous system. So I love that factoid. I love to share it.
Oh, I love it too. I'm glad we had the opportunity to share that one. Okay. Thank you so much for coming on today. That was such a fun primer to gua sha. I definitely want to go do that 3 to 5 times a week now. Thank you for the inspiration. I just needed to be inspired and educated a little bit. So thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great combo.
Sharing and reviewing this podcast is the best way to help us succeed with our mission to help integrate the best of East and West and empower you to raise the bar on your health story. Just go to reviewthispodcast.com/less-stressed-life. That's reviewthispodcast.com/less-stressed-life. And you'll be taken directly to a page where you can insert your review and hit post.